Welcome to There's More to Life, the ebook written by Timothy Shoemaker. The following is narrated by Timothy Shoemaker himself, taken from his ebook, There's More to Life, copyright 2012, Empowered Parent. If you have not yet picked up your copy of the ebook, I encourage you to do it now, because in addition to the words that I'm about to speak, the ebook contains interactive exercises, videos, songs, and all kinds of elements that you can use to take the lessons further. There's even a playlist that you can add to your iPod to remind you of the parts of this ebook that hit the hardest. If you've recently attended the Good Life presentation, you heard me describe how a tense standoff took place between me and a desperate man holding a knife. Living through something like that, being immersed in the gripping reality of each passing second, forces you to question things about yourself. For me, the biggest question left was, how much of my life has been lost? It's a question that doesn't refer to that day, but to the decades of my life that came before it. Decades. I take it for granted. I don't know why it is that it often takes some kind of poignant tragedy to magically reveal the obvious. I don't know what it is about our daily lives that blinds us to the lessons we really need most. What I do know, though, is that there's much more to life than that being sold to you by the people who control the TV, internet, radio, and teen social scene. This is your chance to see it for yourself. If you're listening to this, you've already given yourself an opportunity that very few young people ever get. It's a chance to realize dreams you never thought possible, a chance to avoid pitfalls you haven't yet stumbled into, and a chance to own a future that wasn't yours just a few moments ago. That's a pretty big opportunity. Will you take it? Let today be the day that changes everything. In The Good Life, I challenged you to see through some of the barriers and pop cultural camouflage that frequently stand between us and the things we're trying to accomplish. In this ebook, I give you the chance to tear those barriers down, paving the way not only for yourself, but for all those who follow. The next steps for you are by far the most important, because these are the steps you will take on your own. It's kind of funny, but when we see the word leadership, we often attach it to the image of one person leading others. In fact, every example of leadership begins with one person leading themselves. The most important leadership role you will ever embody will take place entirely within yourself. Right now, you are being bombarded with good and bad influences from every direction. Your music, your friends, your parents, your desires, your emotions, all of these things are pulling at you. And like it or not, no matter how strong-willed you are, all of these things are steering you. It's not your fault, and there's nothing you can do to change it, but you should never lie down to it. Never take your eye off the prize. Never become someone else's version of you. And that can happen so very easily. For some of you, it's probably happened already. One of the toughest challenges of life is simply keeping yourself pointed in the right direction. And that's never harder to do than when you're a teen. If you can master it now, though, you will walk away with something that far too few people are ever able to experience. What I'm talking about is being the change. Being the change that improves your world and the world of those around you. I'm talking about respecting everyone, but fearing no one, and not having any doubts that you can accomplish everything you've ever dreamed of. Let's pause for a brief exercise. You've heard of the term YOLO, right? You only live once? What does it mean to you? Is YOLO an excuse to act wild and crazy, take lots of risks, and feel no regrets? Or is YOLO a motivation, an inspiration to get everything you can out of each day, to improve yourself so that every single tomorrow can be brighter than every yesterday? In my years as a police officer, I've seen death come in many ways. Sickness, accidents, violence, overdose, etc. It's true, people's lives really do flash before their eyes as their final moments approach. It's very common to hear them speak of both their blessings and their regrets. Whenever I watch someone arrive at their final destination in life, I can't help but ponder their journey. I wonder what their beginnings were like, and how they chose to plot their course. I consider what brought them to where they are and question if it was where they were meant to be. I consider each of these people my teachers, and they've taught me a lot. Foremost, I've learned that each one of us has two lives that we have to live. There is the life that we were born into, and then there is the life that we create for ourselves. You have to be careful not to confuse the two. Success and happiness depend upon the life that we create, not the life that we have been given. Whether our first life is a blessing or a burden doesn't really matter. What does matter is what we do with the life that we have control over. We create our life, one step at a time. Each step needs to be a good one, taking us closer to the life that we deserve. In the end, trust me on this, nothing is more longed for than a life that should have been. So what is the good life? I can tell you that it's not what you see on TV. You can't buy it. You can't win it. You can't inherit it from your parents, and you can't steal it from someone next to you. The good life is a treasure, and it's buried deep within yourself. Only you can find it. Don't roll your eyes at me. I promise that what I'm talking about is entirely true, it's very real, and I'm going to prove it to you. As teenagers, we're torn in so many different directions. We want so much for ourselves, and people seem to want so much from us. The battle between what we want, what others want us to have, and what we actually need in order to be happy can be very confusing. But it doesn't have to be. Family, friendship, reputation, self-respect, integrity, honor, courage, and consequence are key ingredients of the good life. Now, just because you can't park these things in your driveway or wear them around your neck doesn't mean that they aren't very real. They may be immaterial, but they are far more valuable than anything you'll find in your wallet. They are also far more rare. Real friends, real courage, real strength, real integrity, and real consequence cannot be taken from you. These things enrich every moment of your life, giving you clarity, confidence, and control. They make the good times better, and they make the bad times not so bad. They enhance you and everything around you, but you have to believe it in order to achieve it. This quick ebook isn't an instruction manual. It's important for you to see that early on. This is simply a guide. You and I both know that there is no dress code for the gala of life. Your individuality is as precious as any of the precepts that I describe in the following pages. What's offered here is a small set of keys, vital concepts that will give you rare and privileged access to some secrets of happiness, success, friendship, and consequence. If you choose to let these things in, the concepts will only enhance your autonomy and enrich your life at a very pivotal and influential time. I'm not going to belabor these things, and I certainly don't force anything on you. But if all we do here is get the wheels turning a little bit and invite you to question some of the hand-me-down mistakes that were made by teens like me, we've done our job. No one is more capable of changing your world than you are, no matter where you live. I know that your surroundings have no shortage of pain, hate, drama, and drug use. All of these problems can be solved, and the prize would be more valuable than any treasure the world has ever known. The solution lies with you, and it becomes a reality the moment that you realize there's more to life. Let's pause for a brief exercise. Is reality TV really real? I mean, what kind of world would it be if everyone acted like the goofballs we often see promoted on TV? Crazy, right? And yet sometimes, it does kind of seem like that's exactly who some of our teens are taking their cues from. Weird, huh? Have you ever noticed how easy it is to get attention for doing the wrong thing? Talk about being backwards. It's true, though. Right around the age of 14, I began to notice that other kids were gaining popularity for their screw-ups. Every Monday morning, the school would be buzzing about who hooked up with who got high on what, and all that kind of garbage. I also noticed that the kids that were being talked about, they didn't seem to mind. In fact, they reveled in it. Hidden under that smirk or feigned embarrassment, there was an obvious appreciation for the attention they were getting for their misdeeds. You know, it never took long for these kids to actually repeat their mistakes in spite of all the negative attention that they seemed to get. Soon after that, they actually began to brag about it themselves. Their exploits became popular fodder. That's when I got it. These weren't mistakes at all. They were publicity stunts. You know, some people just love attention, any attention. It doesn't bother them to be known as the girl who would do what other girls won't, as long as they're known. They feel no shame in being the big drinker, as long as they're big for something. These guys are pretty easy to spot, pretty easy to understand, and if you're not careful, pretty easy to follow. They crave that spotlight, and they have no trouble getting it. If you're after that spotlight too, maybe it's time to ask, what is it you're looking for? You know, of all the things you might hear in a Monday morning homeroom, I'm willing to bet that you'll never hear someone say, "Yo, I was so sober this weekend." Or, "Hey, did you see Kevin Smith's viral Facebook post about helping his elderly neighbor rake the lawn?" It's true. The good that we do rarely makes us famous. And this is one thing that doesn't change as you get older. The next time you're at the grocery store, check out the headlines on the newspapers and magazines. The next time you flip on the TV, take a second to question the values you see being portrayed in front of you. Good stuff? Heck no. The entertainment engine is always running. People want to see and hear the crazy things that others are doing. The media sells scandals, and that's exactly what's mirrored in the teen social scene. You know what, though? That's totally okay. It's exactly how things were meant to be. People don't do good things in order to get famous. We don't do the right thing so millions of people will look at us. We don't stay sober so we can be praised, and we don't choose our values based upon what's going to be profitable. We do it for something far more precious than popularity. We do it for respect. Respect of others. Respect for others. Respect of ourselves. We become the change that this world needs. The easy girl really can't respect herself for giving it all away. The alcohol and drug users really can't respect themselves for giving in. The cut up in class or the criminal on the corner can't really respect herself for being a rebel. That doesn't make these people evil. Generally speaking, they're examples of good people who took their eye off the road just long enough to get lost. In the blink of an eye, their youthful mistakes became their identity. To save face and maybe self-respect, they saw no choice but to build a wall of confidence around that mistaken identity. It can seem like defiance, but in essence, these guys are just trapped on the wrong path and don't know how to get off it. Some of your peers were dealt a tough life early on. It wasn't their fault. Either they were born into it, or maybe they were thrown into it as a kid. It's all they know. They've been neglected at home, or maybe even have been taught some of the mistakes that they're now practicing. The wrong way can easily seem right to people like this. It feels natural, and they've begun to build their entire world around it. Friends, hobbies, fun, and futures have become centered around that one mistaken identity. If you're in that position, never give up on your ability to change your identity. If you're not in that position, never give up on those who seem to be stuck in it. I know kids who woke up one morning and changed it all. They never looked back. All they needed was a spark of belief. Maybe you can be that spark for somebody. Believe in them. Believe in your ability to help them. You know, influence is simply the right message at the right time. If you're a teenager, you're being watched. Your peers are waiting for the flip. They felt the pressure. They felt the temptation. They felt the anxiety of teen life. They've seen others give into it, and they've watched a jaded, competitive, risk-taking social world develop all around them. Have you seen it too? Your peers are wondering when you will trade in your old values for those of the new social order. They may even try to guide you into it themselves, like some kind of bewildered mentor. A pivotal distinction of your future life will depend upon whether you follow that bouncing ball of party time popularity or stay true to your own self and to your own values. Everyone wants to be popular, and everyone sees the easy way out. But some people pretend that it's no big deal to take it. They can't see the difference between being famous and being infamous. I sure hope you can. Don't confuse the ends with the means. After all, if you can do wrong and feel right about it, what kind of person have you become? Continue searching for the right ways of becoming popular, and be comfortable settling for a little less social fanfare. You might not get talked about for doing the right thing, but you will be respected. People will quietly look up to you, even if some of them seem to tease you for it. After all, you've found something inside yourself that so many others can't find. You don't depend upon other people or other substances as your source of self-worth. You don't follow the whim of the crowd, like so many others will do. You are free. Free to be your own person. It comes down to a matter of choosing pride over popularity, of looking within yourself, and learning to live without the social fanfare. It may seem like a sacrifice now, but it's a true sign of strength, of individuality, of power, and of purpose. I hope you can own it. Strength is one of those attributes that I just didn't understand when I was younger. I thought I could build it in the gym. I thought I could prove it by fighting. I thought it was something physical that I could display by walking or talking a certain way. I thought strength was measured against other people, as if each person I met posed a challenge. I was so wrong. Being strong isn't a measure of other people. It's a measure of yourself. It's an evaluation of how you deal with life, how you respond to your emotions, and how you react to the resistance that inevitably stands between you and your goals. The truth is, anything you develop on the outside is guaranteed to fade, whether it's muscles, tattoos, that chip on your shoulder, or whatever. All this tough stuff wilts over time. It becomes useless, ugly even. Can you imagine anything more pathetic than a grandpa in a sleeveless t-shirt, sporting faded tattoos and talking tough to the orderlies in his nursing home? Tough doesn't last. If you focus on physical power or symbolism as the source of your strength, you neglect the type of strength that you really do need. You develop a facade around a feeble core, and eventually, that shell is guaranteed to crack. What you develop on the inside, however, serves you for life. The teenage years give us literally hourly opportunities to develop our internal strength. The crises we face as teens usually aren't as bad as those we'll face as adults, but they certainly seem worse. Our world is pretty small. We're short on experience, and we're really high on emotions, it's trial by fire. It takes everything you've got to get through it. But if you use these teenage tough times to refine your coping skills and strengthen your core, you'll reap the benefits forever. Though life may ultimately force you to confront harder challenges, it will never be harder for you to confront them than when you're a teen. Strong teens inevitably turn into stronger adults. They don't just survive the tough times, they thrive on them. When others falter, fail, or give up, the truly strong are at their best. They make it look easy. They get sad, but don't wallow in it. They get hurt, but don't lie down. They get bullied, but aren't broken. They get beaten, but they maintain their dignity. They get angry, but they maintain control. They get embarrassed, but they keep their head up. They feel peer pressure, but they never give in to it. They have impulses, but they keep them in check. This attitude infuses everything that we do, and it filters everything that's done to us. Strong people know what it means to win, and they refuse to lose. Strength is resiliency, fortitude, and perseverance. It is that impregnable force that maintains our forward momentum no matter what this world throws at us. Strong people face adversity, deal with doubt, and encounter hardships just like everybody else. But where others would give up, give in, or turn towards quick solutions, strong people push on. They look through the tough times and see a better person on the other side. There is no problem they can't endure, and no power greater than that within their own heart. Compare the image of that crazy gangster grandpa to the image of your pleasant but successful neighbor. You know, the one who also happens to be a Holocaust survivor? Have you ever met a cancer patient or accident victim that seems to be oblivious to their fate? That's not denial. It's strength. I know people who have survived horrible crimes and been able to rebuild, forgive, and move on. On the other hand, I know people who have wasted days complaining about a few cross words spoken to them by one of their friends. Which one seems stronger to you? Let's pause for a brief exercise. If you were given a choice between having unstoppable physical strength and unbreakable mental toughness, which one would you choose? Which one would get you further? And which one do you think would last the longest? Think about it. The world is a dangerous place to live, not because of those who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it. Those are Albert Einstein's words. Have you ever watched a runaway shopping cart make its way across a parking lot? All of us have. Sadly, even though we know that something's about to get damaged, or that some unsuspecting person is about to get bonked, we do nothing. The same is true in most instances where people have a chance to act in the name of good, or stand up in the face of bad. We rarely do it. Some would say that it's just part of the human legacy. In fact, nearly 100 years ago, Albert Einstein took a pause from his studies of the physical universe and made that poignant observation that I just told you. You've surely noticed that misguided people seem to have no qualms about doing bad things. They often flaunt it or even laugh about it. Good people, on the other hand, seem to be shy about their benevolence, almost as if being good was something to be timid about. Ironically, most people are good. They don't do bad things. But as history has proven, not doing the wrong thing is a far cry from doing the right thing. It's a very important distinction. Doing right is much better than not doing wrong. In August of 2011, 14-year-old Achilles Baskin happened upon one of those runaway shopping carts. Only this shopping cart wasn't being blown by the wind. It was being dangled over a Harlem balcony by two of his buddies. Achilles' teenage pals had decided it would be fun to drop the 50-pound shopping cart onto some unsuspecting people that were waiting beneath the balcony. Achilles wasn't about to let that happen. When he couldn't talk his friends out of their ill-fated plan, he got physical. Achilles struggled against the two and twice got the cart away from them. When they kept up the fight, Achilles ran to get help. He told on his friends in order to save a complete stranger. This whole incident was caught on tape. And sadly, the teens ultimately did drop that cart. But from a tragic tale emerged a truly heroic example. National headlines praised the courage and heroism of an underprivileged inner-city teen who had everything to lose. A soft-spoken, unassuming kid, Achilles had lived in a tough neighborhood, the kind of neighborhood where snitches get stitches for doing the right thing. Achilles knew that he was in danger, but he stood up for what was right, even at the risk of personal expense. Imagine how our world would be different if more people had that kind of courage. I actually met Achilles at a small ceremony held in his honor. I shook his hand and asked how such a shy kid got up the courage to do what he had done. A humble but proud smile flashed across his face as he said, "I just had to do what was right." So why does an underprivileged kid from a tough neighborhood risk his own safety and social standing to do something like that? He could have so easily just shrugged his shoulders and walked away. He could have honestly denied involvement and he had no need to carry any guilt. The answer actually has nothing to do with his friends, the cameras, or even the lady below. The answer has everything to do with Achilles. Achilles knew his rights from his wrongs. That gave him the strength to be a hero. That's what knowing your rights is all about. I'm not talking about privileges, I'm talking about responsibilities. If you're not careful, the difference between right and wrong can easily become fluid, especially when you're a teenager. Once that happens, things get real messy, real quick. Have you ever caught yourself thinking, well, maybe it's not wrong if you don't get caught? Or maybe it's not wrong if no one else here seems to think it's wrong? We've all thought those things. That's exactly why knowing your rights is so important. Clearly distinguishing between right and wrong keeps your compass pointed in the right direction, even if you feel lost. It gives you confidence, stability, comfort, and strength. It allows you to shrug off peer pressure and clear away indecisiveness. It's a core principle of leadership that empowers your decisions under adverse circumstances. It's a huge part of who you are and who you'll become. Know your rights. Believe in them. Stay true to them. Don't let the crowd, the craving, the whim, or the weakness take them away. Hold them high in the good times and let them carry you through the bad times. Draw strength from them and watch how your strength influences others, just as Achilles has influenced us. If I gave you just 30 seconds, I bet you could easily list at least 10 examples of social disease. From racism to elitism, terrorism, corruption, and substance abuse, we have no shortage of ugliness in our world. Sadly, these are all people-driven problems. Either by influence or example, these infectious behaviors are passed from person to person. They prey on the weak and the vulnerable first, then gain strength and prominence as the number of those infected rises. As a society, these things cripple us like a debilitating virus. Not only can they be passed from person to person, but they're passed from generation to generation. Courage is the only real cure. Courage is far more powerful than any of the threats facing us. Unfortunately, it is also far more rare. No one is born with courage, and few people can develop it on their own. But most people know courage when they see it. They're drawn to it. They respect it. They understand how rare it is, and they are eager to stand alongside those who command it. Courage is contagious. And if you can find it within yourself, you have a power greater than all the evil in the world. One teenager with courage is fully capable of changing a school, town, or nation in a very profound way. A single courageous vision, well communicated, can mobilize an entire community, protect an entire generation, or craft an entirely new future. Perhaps more importantly, one teenager with courage is capable of overcoming any evil, misfortune, barrier, or stereotype cast upon them. Teens with courage possess indomitable power, and own a future of limitless potential. And this too is contagious. Not on a grand scale, but on a very personal level. These rock-solid kids inspire all those who take the time to get to know them. The trouble for most teens is that courage is confusing. Pure courage is so elusive, so hard to achieve, that it's easy to mistake. There are plenty of worthless substitutes out there. Some teenagers, for example, confuse recklessness for courage. Others think that being physically tough fills the bill, but neither of these even come close. The teen world is fraught with faux courage. Expressions of audacity, ego, and selfishness are everywhere. More than anything, these are actually explosions of anger, confusion, or maybe even hopelessness. Emotions can easily overwhelm your judgment. It takes tremendous courage to push through them and to rise above them. Courage can set you free. It gets easier with practice. The trick is learning how to let it go. True courage comes entirely from within. It is an invisible force, an attitude that is expressed through disposition and embodied in consequential action. It's not something that can be faked or conjured, though many people try. It doesn't come in a pill, and it can't be brought out by some drink. It enables us to do exhilarating things, but it isn't to be confused with indiscretion. Courage is a force of good and a source of pride. There are plenty of big tough guys that have absolutely no courage. There are plenty of loudmouthed girls that haven't the slightest bit of it. Many of the most conspicuous people around us actually stand out for their profound lack of courage. We watch them the way we watch a train wreck, unable to look away. We fear them the way we fear a rattlesnake. Courageous people aren't feared. They're followed. They are stable, self-assured, well-grounded, and strong. They don't judge others, and they don't make excuses for themselves. They write their own endings. And they do it in a way that enhances the lives of those around them. People with courage aren't afraid or embarrassed to do what's right. They don't fear risk, but don't risk unnecessarily. They don't hesitate to sacrifice, but they'll never sacrifice their values. They stand tall, but not to stand out. They take pride in their purpose and they find power in the pursuit of their dreams. Courageous people are a spectacle to behold. Let the music make the point. Did you know that the ebook version of this narration actually includes suggestions for rock songs that make the points we're talking about? Get the book, download the songs, and make yourself a playlist to live by. But first, let me ask you a question. Many teenagers say that it's much harder to do the right thing when they're hanging out in a group. Why would that be? How does hanging out in a group somehow change what we've come to know as being right and wrong? One day when I was in the fifth grade, I was drawn to a group of kids on the playground. They had huddled over some strange objects on the ground. None of us knew what they were, but we were all pretty much interested. They looked very, very cool. Most of the other kids were cautiously curious. The intriguing little mystery items looked like pens or something, but we knew that they weren't. We kicked them, we crushed them, we threw rocks at them, and then I got the bright idea to pick one up. As my inquiring little fingers manipulated the moving parts, I suddenly felt a sharp pain in my right hand. A drop of blood oozed to the surface. I'd been pricked. The thing I was holding was a used hypodermic syringe that had been left behind by a drug user. The needle pushed through the cap and plunged deep into my finger. It was over a decade before blood tests finally freed me from the nightmarish concerns that one simple incident had brought into my innocent young life. The drug user, I'm sure, never had a moment's thought about it. Such is the way of drug use. As bad as the users are affected, it's so often the innocent that suffer the most. Drug users tend to think that their behavior occurs in a vacuum, like it's private. The truth of it is, their private practice quickly sucks in everyone around them, and it does not improve their lives. By the time I was a teenager, I saw firsthand how drugs like alcohol, marijuana, and tobacco destroyed the lives of people close to me. I didn't have to look hard. There was no curtain to look behind or code to decipher. The evidence was right in front of me. Still, I'm not entirely sure it affected me much. I gotta be honest, even that needle prick didn't really affect me until later in life, when I was more mature and could understand the consequences. My parents, they never once talked to me about drugs, and I wasn't the type of kid who paid much attention when the life skills teachers rotated through their lessons. Of course, that's not their fault. Yet time and time again, and in spite of these maybe shortcomings, I was given the opportunity to smoke this, drink that, pop this or snort that, and time again I turned it down. It wasn't because I was scared of the drugs. And I certainly wasn't scared of getting into trouble. I had plenty of that. I just had no interest in drug use whatsoever. I was never a follower. As a teen, I was a hard-headed little punk. I wasn't the type to do things just because my friends were. I hated it when my friends got high. It seemed like such a waste of time to me. I wanted to be out doing something. And drunk people annoyed me to no end. The mild entertainment they provided got old real quick. Talking with them was actually painful for me. As soon as the party started to get tipsy, I would go and shoot baskets in the driveway or find somewhere else to go, find other people to hang out with. It was just better that way. That was just me. I never saw it as being anti-drug. I never saw it as being right or wrong. I just saw it as being pro-life. I wanted to be around real people and have some real fun. I'm not much different today. If the person I'm talking to won't be the same person tomorrow when they're sober, I get very little out of my time with them. It just seems so fake. And of course, it is fake, isn't it? People take drugs to produce a change. They don't like the way they feel or the way they act, so they turn to drugs. They're bored, sad, tired, stressed, nervous, uncomfortable, lonely, or whatever. Drugs change the way they perceive themselves and the world around them. It's a change that some people think is a good thing, or at least feels like a good thing. But there's more going on. Drug use changes the person at their core, and that's a truly sad thing. Even worse, it happens in the blink of an eye. Long before someone becomes addicted to a drug, they become dependent upon it. They use that drug to boost their performance, brighten their world, blur their problems, or maybe even just be a little more social. In that process, though, they sacrifice their own ability to do so. They begin to rely on something else. When people turn to drugs like alcohol, marijuana, or tobacco, they sacrifice their own autonomy. They give up on themselves. They simply hand their challenge over to some foreign substance. In so doing, they relinquish their independence and forfeit their opportunity to grow as a person. The drug becomes their solution, and they very quickly learn to rely upon it. And before you know it, it's part of who they are. It chooses their friends, it guides their activities, and it controls their coping strategies. That's a fate far worse than learning to accomplish these things on your own. Life is just too short and too awesome to give away like that. Even the difficult parts. The challenges that test us often reveal the true strength and creativity within ourselves. They add depth to our personality and breadth to our resiliency. They make us better people. We shouldn't blur these things. Drug use shouldn't have to be illegal. People shouldn't need a law to tell them not to hurt themselves. They shouldn't need to see some government-sponsored public service announcement begging them to stay drug-free. Drug companies and drug dealers, they shouldn't be able to get rich by offering us short-term solutions while causing long-term problems. If you're old enough to read this, you already know someone who needs a glass of wine to relax or several beers to have fun. By middle school, you might have